with a new style in red, green, nine, and violin, jumping, boozing like a rose blade, man, blue, dodgy, my TV.
Oh, you guys know how they say if you eat a little bit of food slowly, like, you'll feel more full?
Yes.
It also works if you eat a lot of food really fast. I just learned that because I ate lunch really fast before we started recording.
Oh, boy.
And I feel terrible.
Oh.
I feel awful. No.
Good.
So both ways can make you feel really full. That's a public service announcement.
What happened in the last episode?
We are going to get into that.
Okay.
I was wondering if I should do it in fiction and just kind of bring us in naturally, or if I would kind of rebrief. It's not even a debrief. So let's just go ahead and get into it, okay? Let's do this thing. Okay. So the three of you, and I've written down your names because it's been a while, Brim, James, and Anaya, have just made landfall at the NRC Union. Specifically, you have touched down on the centermost island, which is like the tourist hotspot with different businesses, both corporate and also, restaurants, that kind of cool stuff, nightlife. There's two adjacent islands. One's basically residential, and one is where all the scientists live and work, but you guys are on the really happening spot. If you recall, the water surrounding this kind of three-island area, this archipelago, if you will, remember, it's kind of got a reddish tint, this crimson red. So there's some cool stuff, really cool geographic stuff going on. There is festivities ongoing as you arrive here. Weirdly, some daytime fireworks, so you can really just hear them. You can't see them very well. But you guys know, you've been told by Kay and Professor Sugar Dinner and even Captain Crew, as he was seeing you all off the boat that you came here on, that you guys have a little bit of time to take in the sights and really be tourists before you have to go in for the All-World Science Fair orientation. So the three of you are standing in front of the carnival entrance for the 43rd annual NRC Science World's Fair. You see a lot of stuff in front of you. You see vendors at their stands trying to hawk to tourists little trinkets. Some things whizzing around and buzzing. You see a lot of food vendors with, colorful things on sticks that are edible that are going to everyone. You see a Ferris wheel in the background with a few other rides going on. And interspersed with all of these attractions, you also see some classic carnival games and, stuffed animals strewn around. A lot of little kids walking by you, past your legs with, they're either holding a stuffed animal or they're crying and yelling at their parents. That's kind of the two different kinds of kids that you're seeing walking around.
It's the only two kinds of kids that exist, let's be real.
Exactly. There are
at
two types
parks
of kids in this world. Yeah. And some of these, in these kids, some of them have superpowers, so they've like burned their parents' pants off if they didn't, behave. So, in classic Powered by the Apocalypse, I've now set a stage for you. You guys are at the carnival. What do you want to do?
Is Kay with us?
The last thing you remember with regards to Kay was he was helping you guys get all of your luggage off of the ship, and he told you guys to meet him at Sector 3, which is a hot, it's kind of like a restaurant bar fusion near the center of town.
Is it also a secret base?
No, that's Sector 2, obviously.
Damn.
And it's not a secret base. No, it is a restaurant where you guys will be rendezvousing at before he takes you to orientation in a few hours.
Mm. Cool.
I would like... there are a lot of people around, I'm sure.
Tons. Yeah, there's okay. lots of witnesses. Don't do anything.
Oh, well, never mind then.
okay, cool.
No, I want to find the closest passerby and hand them my camera. And I turn to the other two and say, "Hey, can we pose for a picture under the thing, the like the sign, the 43rd, the whole thing? I just want a picture of the three of us. Are you guys okay with that?"
Yeah.
Sure.
The very large anthropomorphic mole man that you've handed your camera to kind of struggles squinting through the lens of it to try to get the correct angle. And he says, "Move in a little bit, closer together, and closer to me, please." He wants you guys to get way up close to this lens because he cannot see very well.
Okay. Is that going to be a bad picture?
I'm gonna do something already. I'm gonna see if I can like just very briefly make his vision better.
Okay.
Don't give this mole man the gift of perfect sight and then take it away from him.
Without him knowing you're gonna do anything first.
It's a 9. 5 and a 2 plus 2. I was doing an unleash your powers. So on a hit, you do it. On a 7 and 9, mark a condition, or the GM will tell you how the effect is unstable or temporary.
Right. So, you begin to glow. Your crimson red. I assume this is like a reality storm kind of deal.
No. So it's really like, I guess. With all the hustle and bustle around us, you wouldn't really be able to see it super clearly, but there's sort of like a little mist stream between like my hand and this mole man's like head, basically. I mean, it's going to his eyes, but like you can just see, and I'm sort of, as we're like hands over, like arms over shoulders.
Yeah.
My fingers are just like, you can, if you're paying attention, like just moving just a little bit as I'm basically like rearranging how his vision works as he's taking this picture.
You guys see him snap a photo of you all. You hear the little click and there's a flash. And then as he lowers his hands, you see his wide bulging dark eyes, and he begins screaming, and all you can hear him say is, "My eyesight has never been better, but all my other senses are gone. What's happening? I don't know. Everyone help me, help me, help me. Jennifer, where are you?" And then a woman mole comes up to him and grabs his shoulders, and she says, Harvey, it's okay. I'm here. Let's get you to the hospital. Dr. Roderick will want to see you. You were making so much progress." Oh, and she kind of takes him away, and he just kind of drops the camera on the floor.
Oh, dear.
And it doesn't crack or anything.
Okay.
Well, but it's got a little dent in it now, and he scuffed up the paint job.
That's fine. That means I've been on an adventure.
How does the picture look?
You hear a little click and as the Polaroid comes out of the camera, and you shake it. I guess you have to like shake these types of things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. So you shake it and the film develops, and there is a creepy phantom behind all. No, I'm kidding. It looks great. It's a beautiful picture with friends. you didn't like catch something in the act. Aww. Yeah, that's great.
We have found the plot hook.
as you guys are admiring the photo, you hear a not a friendly voice. I think it's trying to be friendly, but you hear, "Hey kids, hey, want to try your luck?" And you turn around to see a seedy figure with a big name tag that says Martin Carnival on it. He's tossing a baseball up and down in his palm. Martin kind of turns his head side to side, make sure that there's no one else listening, and you can see this big shark fin on the back of his head. And he smiles with these big toothy smile, and he says, "You kids look like you could use a little adventure and some fun. Want to try your luck over at the Shark Tank?"
What is involved with... it seems to be a combination of a couple different carnival games. Is it the milk bottle pyramid, or is it the dunk tank?
Are there actual sharks?
You have perceptive eyes, and you ask too many questions.
I asked one question.
That's true.
Mental note, one question, too many questions. And I will remember that.
My game is multi-tiered. Each one of you three will have to compete in one challenge. If all three of you win, you will be rewarded with a fantastic prize. However, if just one of you loses, you have to face the Shark Tank.
No.
That's a cool line, but like, what does that mean? What does that entail, facing the Shark Tank?
Oh, that's fine. If you guys aren't the curious types, then
I am curious.
Going.
I'm literally asking you about it right now.
I think Ian might be very behind this, like lag-wise. I don't know. Did you hear Chris ask what the Shark Tank entails?
I couldn't tell if that was dramatic pause.
Oh, no. I didn't hear him say that.
Oh, yeah. The conversation on our end went, okay. You have to face the Shark Tank. What does facing the Shark Tank mean? Well, I guess if you're not curious, I'm literally asking you right now.
Well, there was like 5 seconds of dead air also.
Okay. Dramatic dead air. Yeah. He looks over and he says, "Oh, so you've heard of the Shark Tank before?"
No, I'm asking you what it means right now.
He turns to his side and he whispers to himself, "Now I've got him. The curiosity's too much." "Oh, the Shark Tank is just a fun little bonus game that we play. Essentially, if you end up going there because you've lost a round, then it's essentially your get a life back." Wait, that didn't make any sense. Made more sense in my head. I've done the Shark Tank so many times, it seems like old hat to me. It's a consolation prize. Does that make sense to you? It's a consolation
prize. Sure. I don't think I'm going to get a straight answer out of you, so why not?
Shark game.
This guy knows what's what. This guy. He goes up to you, Brim, and he like holds out a fist pump.
Yeah.
Can I send a message over the neural net to...
Sure.
I guess Egret, that's just like a snapshot of this guy fist bumping, and the message like, "If you don't hear from us in the next couple of hours, we've disappeared with this man, I guess." Probably come find us.
Cool. Yeah. You look back at your neural net message and you see kind of three blinking dots and then nothing and then three blinking dots. And then you just see, "I wouldn't ... But that's all you see from her. Martin takes the three of you over to his area, and he walks over, and there's a large lever by his stand, and he pulls it, and bright lights come up. And a microphone comes down from the ceiling of his kind of Caddyshack area, and he picks it up almost like he is a announcer at a like WWE wrestling match. "Ladies and gentlemen! If I can have your attention, please. We have our first participants of the day for..." Say it with me, and everyone within like a few carnival attractions has now like turned towards you guys, and you kind of see them with their hands going up and down, saying slowly at first, but then getting louder, "Shark game, shark game, shark game, shark game, shark game." And the crowd is just going wild, and it is just converging on this stage that the three of you have been lured to. "Shark game, shark game." That's right, everyone. For the 43rd time, we are going to do the annual Shark Game.
I talked through the neural net. Oh, like, Kay didn't tell us to lay low this time, did he? Because we're definitely not.
Katie is, Anaya right now is getting like tons of image and story searches from Egret right now. You're just hearing like fume, fume, fume. Just about all these horrible, grotesque, graphic images of the 42 shark games that have come before.
Oh, no.
A few of them in there, though, do have triumphant-looking people who have won the shark game. And they look really happy, the ones that are alive, the people who are alive.
Okay.
But in most of the images, you just see either Martin Carnival or a few other shark-like men, a few women in there. And also Martin, a few times as a kid, he's been doing this a while, just him smiling and them all with their grinny, sharp teeth.
Is there great-great-grandpa Carnival? In like a sepia tone photo from,
absolutely. He's got like tweed shorts. You can see all the way back to the first annual NRC Science Fair, and he is, he is standing proud. He's in a suit and tie. He was actually a hammerhead shark. He was much more shark than man. So like contrasted with Martin Carnival, who basically looks like just a shady dude with sharp teeth and a shark fin. But he was full on anthropomorphic hammerhead shark.
Dang.
Yeah, Marthamuyul. Wait, what did you say the grandpa's name was?
No.
I think he just said Grandpa Carnival.
Grandpa Martin Carnival. Great Grandpa Carnival.
Yeah, so you guys are talking to Marty Carnival Jr. Jr.? I don't know. Anyway, you now have a giant crowd.
I'm going to message the two of you. I'm not sending you any of the things that Egret is sending me, but I am going to message you. If we can back out of this, we should probably find a way to do so. Research says, don't do the research. Just trust me on this.
I do the research. and see a load of horrible graphic images. I see everything that Anaya just saw, basically. Then I guess also in the group chat, or whatever we're calling it, I send them to James.
Oh, okay. Well, that is, yep, that.
This was a bad choice. Shark Game was a bad choice.
Can you teleport now? can we leave? Is it too late to do that?
It's now time for the choosing. And everyone's like, choosing shark game, choosing shark game. In this small box are three numbers, and it will decide which one of you is playing the first game, the second game, and the final game. And he kind of holds out the box, and you guys can stick your hands in and pull out a number.
Do you want us to roll a thing?
Yeah, just roll 2d6. We'll see what happens.
Six.
Seven.
Four.
Okay. 6, 7, 4. And he says, you, Anaya, will be... I don't know how he knows your name. I guess he just knows it.
He Googled us.
That's better in a weird way. Yeah.
He says, you, Anaya, will be our first victim participant. And you, Purple Man, will be number two. And you will be three, looking at you, James. He says, everyone, Anaya, the first of the choosing, will now play duck game. Everyone's like, duck game, duck game, duck game.
Well, duck.
So, Anaya, you are now on the big screen on the side of this... stage platform with bright lights all over you, and you see rising from the stage is a game where you see ducks going from side to side, and they're making cute little noises like wah, 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 and like little water splashes are just coming up. It's very quaint. And Martin hands you three balls, and he says, you must hit three ducks in this duck game, but they move, so be careful. You might think you're throwing the ball at one of them, and you might miss. And everyone's just like, duck game, duck game. Okay, Anaya, what do you do? Three balls. You gotta hit three ducks.
All right, I'm gonna extend a loop of the skin, holding one of the balls, and just attempt to just like
yes.
tap one of the ducks. I'm not even gonna throw yes. it. I'm just gonna hold it very tentatively.
Yeah, you extend your arm, and without even rolling any dice, you slam it right into one of those ducks. A duck goes down. Everyone hears wah 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 wah, and the crowd is like, "Yeah, yes." He's just like, that's one ball and one duck. And everyone's just going crazy. And he's like, what will she do next?
I'm going to do the same thing, I guess.
You do the same thing and people fucking lose their minds. This is Cabbage Vendor Man from Avatar. Like, people are foaming at the mouth, going crazy for you, Anaya. The adrenaline is just rushing towards you. And he says, this is amazing. No one's ever gotten this far before. And he said, the third ball.
Ooh.
Can I, like, assess the situation or something? Because I feel like at this point, Anaya is definitely like, where is the trap? There's a trap. Rule three, because there's
sure.
a trap.
Yeah, yeah, please assess the situation.
Okay. I'm trying to think. It's a plus superior, which is... it's a 9. So I get to ask one question?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then plus one while acting on answers.
Was your question just, where's the trap?
Yeah, what here's the biggest threat?
Okay. Well, other than the man standing in front of you, the biggest threat is that you know a lot about animals. And you realize that you've gotten very lucky these last two times because you can see that there is only one other moving waterfowl that looks like a duck, because your perceptible eyes for animals and their movement see that every other moving target is a goose. You have to hit only ducks is
oh,
the
man.
Trap of this game. And so you see that last duck interspersed with about 13 geese. So now acting on this information, you get an additional plus one. What do you do?
Okay. I'm going to try and hit the duck. Am I rolling yeah. this time?
Woo! Yeah, rolling this time.
Okay. What would this... am I directly engaging a duck threat?
Yes, you're directly engaging a duck threat.
That's an 8.
Yeah, that's a mixed success.
Do I resist or avoid the duck's blows?
Yeah, all of the ducks turn, or all the geese turn into real animals and start pecking at you. Fury, no. So what happens is you pick up the third ball with your other skin like you have all the other ones, and you toss it towards, you see that as your arm is going towards the target, the duck starts speeding up, something that you were not accounting for. And you have to switch directions really quickly with your other skin in order to directly hit that duck. Unfortunately, that quick change of your movement has sprained your shoulder, Anaya. It hurts really bad, and you take one harm as you slam that final duck target down, and the crowd goes wild. And you just hear the loudest wah, 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 like in a really bassy tone as all these bright lights shine. And as you compose yourself and kind of feel where your arm now hurts, kind of up by your collarbone, you are pushed to the side by Martin and say, isn't she great? That was wonderful. Time for the next stage. And of course, the audience, what do you think they say?
Next game, next game.
Yeah, next game, next game. They are just so hungry. They're hungry for this shark game. He looks over to Brim, who is apparently chanting with them.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Next game. Like, oh, we have someone up here who's very excited. This is, what's your name, son?
He holds them Hi, up. My name is Brimnus Kivik. You can call me Brim.
Brim, do you know what you're playing for today?
Sounds like I'm playing to not die, Martin.
That's exactly right. Thank you. And do you know what you'll be playing?
No idea. Just next game, next game.
You'll be playing our next game, which everyone knows is, let me hear it, folks. And they say, hoops. That's right. You'll be playing hoops. the NRC Union's favorite sport. And you are taken to the area where Anaya was previously standing. And instead of a single carnival game rising up, you instead see from the ceiling come down a series of six basketball hoops. And they have they have no backs, though. They're just the hoops, okay? They come down, and you are encircled in them, okay? Then just as an extra flare, the nets light on fire. And so they're pretty and glowing. And you get thrown a basketball, and you catch it.
Oh, good. Okay.
Now, for those of you who are uninformed, I will go over the rules. Brim, you have one ball there. However, there are six hoops, and you see all these flaming hoops around you. You must dunk the correct hoop.
Mm.
Should be easy as long as you know the rules of hoops.
Okay. Well then, I guess I'm also going to assess the situation. It's plus one. That is a nine. It's a nine.
That is a nine. Okay.
Oh, wait, sorry. It's an eight.
That same thing. Okay. So you assess the situation, and you can remember from your time in the library on the ship that you did read about different sports as they had been, you know, culturally exchanged with between countries. And you remember seeing hoops. And you don't remember all of the rules, but you do remember that when someone says to dunk the ball, it actually means to dunk it so hard that you destroy the hoop. And essentially, the way that you win a game of hoops is you destroy the final hoop. So you kind of have to like measure destroying the hoops with your sweet dunks, with making sure that you don't just leave one left and your enemy is able to... Basically, it's a game about destroying the basketball hoops.
Mm. But there's only one hoop that matters?
Okay, let me give you a little bit better picture. So the hoops are in a circle around you.
Yes.
And from the fire, you can kind of see that if you look at the hoops, all these six hoops around... if you looked from a bird's eye view, they would look like one large hoop sitting next to each other. So you have one dunk to destroy all six hoops.
Oh. Well, in that case, here's an important question. Am I outside?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, this is outside.
Great. I'm going to fly up into the air and look directly into the sun. So I guess this is going to be a fun Unleash Your Powers roll, because this is the first time that I get to use... My new stupid thing that we all said we were, that I was allowed to have, which is super strength, on top of heliokinesis. So I'm just going to absorb the sun, classic move,
yeah,
classic Brim move, and let's roll for Unleash Your Powers. Plus freak. That is a 12. So I'm going to...
Yeah, just tell me what happens, Brim.
Yeah, so I'm going to fly into the air. I'm basically going to hold the basketball up and just kind of, I don't know, imbue it with some kind of solar energy. So it just basically like wrapping it, almost like a rubber band ball of solar energy around this one giant basketball. And then I'm going to shout down from the sky to the people surrounding the hoops court. I guess it's a court in this case. Surrounding the hoops court. Hey, everyone, you should probably move back, because I don't want you to die while I'm trying to not die. Thanks in advance. And then I launch myself directly through all of the hoops with the ball in front of me as it just, hopefully, if all goes well, demolishes all the hoops in one fell swoops.
Ooh. Ah. Oh, my God.
Fuck, you guys are on fire today. Oh, wow. Duck.
Well, literally.
Oops, swoop. Yeah. Yeah, as you pierce through the center of these flaming hoops, your flames are much stronger. And you not only destroy them, they just melt when you are within like 4 or 5 feet of these hoops. And they are just, everyone just sees it onto the ground, which is a real noise that things make.
Wow, what are they made out of?
Plastic. I don't know.
Just smells weird.
It just smells weird everywhere.
Just a toxic smell.
Yeah, it's a plasma. It's like a plasma TV exploding. And yeah, and everyone is cheering for you, Brim. I think you like that.
Wow.
It's pretty good. This is the first time you've really used your powers full out, I think, since the fight with Red Light.
Yeah.
Feels good. Shake it all out. Shake it out. Yeah. You see a few custodians come over and scrape the melted plastic off of the floor, spray some Febreze on it to make sure it all smells good.
Can I get some of that?
Sure. A few interns for Martin Carnival come over and they wipe you down with some really nice smelling oils and lavender.
Thank you.
Yep. You smell great. Brim has high self-esteem.
Cool.
Shark game. Hey everyone, it's me, Ian Shapiro, your Dungeon Master for As We Go, the actual play podcast where we, I guess we play a carnival game for the entire episode. Oh boy. I hope you're enjoying the episode and the shark game. I just wanted to give you, some information about the show. So you can check us out on Twitter at As We Go Cast. You can also check out a couple other podcasts that are, check out Into the Aether. It's a low-key video game podcast that is hosted by Brendan Bigley, who is Brim on As We Go. And it is also co-hosted by Stephen Hilger, someone I've never met in real life, but he seems like a real positive guy. So I would check that out. You should also look at Terrace House. Shit. Oh, man. Is this going to be the take I use? No Script at All, which is a Terrace House fan cast, again by Brendan. This guy has so many podcasts. And Andrea Capretti, who did the show art for As We Go, this podcast. Guys, I'm really out of it. It's a fun episode, though, so like you don't need to be listening to me. anyway, tell your friends about the show because we're fun superheroes. And yeah, I'm going to just get us back into it because this is a rough intermission. Back to the shark game. Let's go as we go. And Martin Carnival goes back up to his microphone and he says, well, this is quite the turn of events. We've never had a group in the last 10 years make it this far. So, you know what that means. And everyone is like, I wasn't here 10 years ago. I was like, ooh, so we've got some intrigue. He says, you, come over here, James.
Okay.
And he
sent to the team, no pressure.
he holds a small handheld mic up to you and he says, now tell us, James, do you have any family or friends in the audience here today?
Beyond these two, is there anybody else hanging out in the crowd?
No.
Basically just an I and Brim here for science fair.
Oh, really? Yeah. You're here for the science fair. Are you are you just going to be taking notes or are you competing? What are you up to?
I'm the premium person representative.
Oh, excellent. And what have you brought for the, you want to give us a hint of what you've brought for the science fair?
And he sort of like smiles for himself more than anything else, like, it looks really gross, but it's very powerful, and just gives a thumbs up to the crowd.
And the crowd doesn't know how to feel about you right now, James, honestly. not as much charisma as Brim, and certainly less anticipation in what was going to happen as with Anaya. So everyone's kind of lukewarm right now. You don't get a great response.
He didn't really expect to be interviewed going into this, okay. Considering nobody else really was.
Excellent, excellent. And he looks at everyone and he says, "We've played the duck game. We've played hoops. There's only one thing left to do."
Craps.
Close. A game of chance. And everyone goes, "Ooh, oh."
Well, that's not very fair.
He walks you over to a very small table and says, "This game is called Which Cup Is the Ball Under?" Not as cool sounding as Hoops or Duck Game, but it's what you get. And he has a shiny red metallic ball, which he holds up and kind of shows to everyone and to you. He puts it under the middle of three cups, and he says, "You need to figure out, after I'm done mixing these around, which cup the ball is under. Are you ready? Do you understand the rules?"
I do, Ian. I have two burn and three conditions.
Oh, no.
Because I rolled a two and a two.
Yeah, you're sweating profusely. You were not expecting to be interviewed. Your powers are kind of going a little haywire. You still don't quite feel all your nerves in the right places. And Ian's computer screen just went black real quick.
So I'm insecure because of that milquetoast audience reaction. Afraid because I've seen the photos.
Oops.
Don't blame yourself. That was my fault.
And I think angry at himself for essentially ignoring Kay's request of him, which is like, be a leader and do the responsible thing. And instead he's like, "This seems fun. Let's do the fun thing."
And you know, as all these feelings are going on inside of your body, you see the cups moving. You see his little shark hands shifting and shading around, putting. Oh, I just hit my mic. He's like lifting up cups, sliding them across the table. You see glints of the red ball every now and then as it gets shuffled around under these three cups. It's really quite a spectacular show. And at the end of it, you just see his palms outward and he says, "Choose a cup. See if fate smiles on you today."
He kind of grits his teeth and looks at him and is like, "Luckily, I don't need to worry about that. Use elemental awareness. And I spend a burn, mark a condition, and where's the ball, Ian?"
Yeah, your X-ray-ish vision kind of comes into
play.
Well,
tell me where it is.
Oh, it's behind his back. He's holding it behind his back.
Incredible.
So
wow.
What I've done essentially is when I looked him in the face, the little mist there appeared, and I essentially watched his vision from just now and like mined his memories and was like, "Okay, that's where it was." And so feeling a little guilty about manipulating his mind, "Please take your right hand from behind your back, please."
He looks at the audience and then looks at you. Looks at the audience and looks at you, and he's like, "You're right or my right? Am I right, folks?"
"Well, now it's in your left hand."
Duck. A few of the people are chanting, like, "Left hand, left hand, left hand." And he very hesitantly lifts the crimson red ball from his left hand and shows the audience. And he says, "Oops, I guess my hands are sticky today. Maybe I should do a redo." And people are like, "Hey, he did a redo last year and the year before that. Yeah, but we were too excited about getting to see the Shark Tank to even think about what the..." Everyone's like, "We've been conned. This guy's a con artist. Who'd have thought? His name's Martin Carnival. Their name holds a lot of weight around here."
Somebody in the crowd just starts yelling, "You're a duck. You're a duck.
you're a duck, you're a duck. And he says, he pulls down the microphone again. He's like, that's all for today, everyone. There'll be no shark game here. No shark tank, certainly. And everyone's like, you should go in the shark tank. No, that will not be necessary.
Shark tank.
Naya starts the chant.
She doesn't expect anyone to actually hear her.
And everyone's just, yeah, but somebody there has a superpower that gives them very good hearing. And so they begin chanting with you. And this has gotten out of your three's hands very quickly. And the cheering crowd has now become a bit of an angry mob.
Uh-oh.
And they are rushing the stage, flowing around you guys. This is unadulterated Lion King stampede energy going on right now. And, you know, goodbye Mufasa, spoiler alert. They are all coming towards Martin. They pick him up, and they're kind of mosh-pitting him around. One guy pulls a lever on the side of his carnival stand, and out of the center comes a big ol' shark tank with a not anthropomorphic shark. Nope, just regular old sharks that haven't been fed in a while, just swimming around in circles. And they lift him up, and they look over to you three and say, champions, what will you have us do with this mongrel?
I say to the group, this doesn't seem very heroic of us, guys.
No, this is bad.
No, let's, yeah, no.
Do I know anything about the NRC justice system?
It probably doesn't involve sharks.
It might. I don't know.
You know that no justice system in the world directly involves sharks.
I've been surreptitiously researching this during the last two trials. Did I find anything else out interesting about the shark tank? Like, is it straight up you drop in a pit of sharks and then they eat you, or is there?
So
was I able to find out anything interesting?
Right, so the history of the shark tank goes back about 43 years.
I have an idea.
Yeah, go for it, because I didn't actually have a 43-year history about the shark tank. So I'll tell you right now.
Yes, that's it. They throw you in with the sharks, then the sharks
eat you. I
know,
but I wanted to impress you all.
Oh, no.
Well, you're welcome. I say to the crowd, wait.
They wait.
Put that man down and throw me in the shark tank instead.
Will of the champion, will of the champion. And they toss him to the side and they mosh.
While that happens, I turn around real quick to James and Anaya, and I say, I learned something new about myself recently. And I take out a little pen that I had in my pocket and I jab it directly into my heart, but the pen breaks. I think nothing can hurt me anymore. And then I turn around.
That's sure a way to find out.
The crowd lifts you up and they mosh pit you over.
Do you keep your like sweatshirt and sweatpants on, or do you like
ceremoniously? Oh, absolutely. Why not?
Okay.
It's gonna be great when the sharks go at it.
I'm gonna edge over there in the
it's
hopes
like
of
Luke Cage
pulling him out.
Shark Luke Cage.
Okay. All right, good. Anaya is there for emergency rescue. James is enthralled by what's happening, worried about.
No, I'm sitting there trying to think in my head, like, can I put him back together? Would I be able to do that?
As you're thinking that, you also realize that you are in the splash zone, because when Brim gets thrown in, the water goes splash. And Brim, let's go ahead and do a, Jesus, I think it's going to be take a powerful blow, because the sharks immediately start to bite you.
Yeah. Roll. That's a 9 plus conditions marked. What does that mean?
It means, do you have any conditions
marked?
If
you have conditions.
Oh, I do.
You do?
Do you?
Oh, wait, no, never mind. I cleared that last time.
Okay.
Or
yeah,
so we're good.
Yeah, so a mixed success on take a powerful blow.
So it's...
Now I have conditions.
This is a you want low.
Oh, really?
Oh, you want low. Well, it's a mixed success. So...
What did you roll? I didn't hear you, sorry.
It was a 9.
Okay, yeah. So 7 and 9, you choose one. From the list. Do you have the list?
I do have the list.
Yeah.
I could lash out verbally underwater to nobody. That'd be fun. No, I think I'm going to struggle past the pain and mark two conditions.
yeah, these sharks go to town on you, chomping, and you realize that them biting you is a little bit more than a pin hitting your skin. They do not pierce you, but they certainly leave a mark.
Crushing damage.
Yeah, there's crushing damage on you, the pressure. Your skin is invulnerable. You're still, like, vulnerable to physics and pressure. So you get chomped down on. You get some really cool scars, it seems like. And you take 2 harm. I'm not going to put any conditions on you because I think you're having a fucking blast.
Well, I just took 2 because of the... So struggle, passive pain, mark 2 conditions. I'm going to mark afraid because turns out not invincible. also insecure because, again, not invincible.
Right. Okay, yeah, that's right. So you don't take any harm, but you'll take those conditions. That sounds fair. Then a net comes and picks you up out of the shark tank. Loud cheers and applause. I think you're a little bit shaken, though, so you're not able to enjoy them fully. No. And you all can see police officers walking up, and they have lays on, like, they're very cool police officers, like they're down for this carnival too, but they come up and they are arresting Martin, and as they are putting him into the back of a vehicle, you see one of the police officers doing crowd management, getting people away from the stage. Another one is putting up yellow police tape around the whole damn area. And the third police officer comes up to you three and says, "Are you all right? Can I get you anything? Blanket? It's all we have. We have blankets."
Do you have new non-torn to shreds by sharks clothes that I could maybe have?
What size are you?
Medium everything.
I think we can work something out. He walks over to a vendor that's like selling tourist trap clothes, and he gives
pants.
Him like, yeah, he gives him some money, and he grabs some shorts and a t-shirt that says, "I went to the NRC union and had a blast," and also like a baseball Ooh. Cap. And he hands you these things to put on.
Nice.
They're all gray.
Oh, I get changed.
Now, I'm going to need to take a statement from each of you. Is that cool? We've been trying to, pin this guy on anything illegal, honestly, for years. And you guys are the first time that the crowd's ever been on not his side. So we finally saw our chance. So can I take a statement from each of you? You, James. I heard him say your name, so I know it also. All right, what's your statement?
I did not like this person.
Excellent. Anaya, what's your statement? Remember, this will be an official police record for all eternity.
I did have more to say, but that's okay.
I mean, I just hit some ducks.
Oh, man, a jury will love you. And how about you?
You know, I have a lot of complex feelings about Martin, but at the end of the day, and I point at my shirt, I went to the NRC union and I had a blast.
Camera pans up and back down. It's a few hours later, and you guys are all at Sector 3, the hot restaurant bar combo. You guys see Kay. He waves you guys over to a table, and you guys sit down in the booth. He's with Professor Sugar Dinner.
Immediately, when I sit down, I swear we don't cause revolutions every single place that we go.
Yeah, I saw the news. That was impressive. No one's ever won that in the last like 10 years. Good job, everyone. Oh, and Brim, great shirt. He's pointing at the "I went to the NRC union and I had a blast." Kay is wearing the same shirt, but in white.
Amazing.
And Professor Sugar Dinner is sipping a how to put this? She has a martini, but instead of getting salt around the edges, it's sugar.
Great.
And so she's lapping that up and loving it. Kay says to all of you, "I know that it's mostly important for James to be here for the science orientation, but I think you guys would be, I think this would be a great learning experience for all of us." And so Professor Sugar Dinner has actually called an old associate of hers. She got her doctorate here at the NRC Union studying theoretical new math. And she actually has an in with one of the senior research fellows who used to be a classmate of hers. You guys hear a door open, a little ching, 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 ching. Like, oh, and I think here he is now. You guys lean out of the booth for a moment to see a tall, silver-haired man with sunglasses and a mustache walk through the door. He takes off the sunglasses to reveal piercing blue eyes. This guy is like George Clooney hot. I mean, he is. Yeah, he's a 6 foot tall George Clooney. This is who this man is. Wearing a white lab coat because he is a scientist. And Professor Sugar Dinner says, "Oh, Bernard, come over here. Come here. Here. And she kind of trails off. The man, George Clooney, in the white lab coat, who's actually named Bernard, walks over to all of you. And he says, shit, how does George Clooney sound? I need to do a George Clooney voice.
Oh, please.
I don't know what he sounds like. I'm bad. I've never actually heard George Clooney talk. I've only heard him do his characters in movies.
5 minute break while Ian goes and looks up some videos of George Clooney.
Well, we're going to find out what Ian's brain says George Clooney sounds like.
You can always dub it in later.
I'll dub it in later. I'm dubbing in my own voice. This is weird. Okay. I'm going to cut out some of this, but okay. Give me a countdown, guys, for doing George Clooney.
One, go.
My name, damn it. okay, it's gonna be this. This is my voice. This is the voice of Bernard. This is Bernard. Yeah, I'm gonna give him a little bit more zzz. Okay. This, how am I doing? I need some feedback. This is Bernard. My name is Bernard. I'm a scientist. Okay. As you may have heard, I'm also a senior research fellow at the NRC Union Science Institute. That is my introduction.
Wow, great to meet you, Bernard. Where are you from? Are you from here?
I actually am from the NRC Union. Thank you for your interest.
How long have you been a scientist for?
I have been a scientist for as long as I can remember. My mind is an inquisitive one.
Oh, nice. How long have you, like, officially been a scientist for? Like,
with a doctorate is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, the paper.
With the piece of paper, yes. Well, as you can see, and he reaches into his coat pocket and pulls out his PhD. As you can see, I have been a doctor here for well over 20 years, officially certified. Before that, I did my fellowship at the NRC Union Institute of Science. Here's my paper for my certificate of achievement there. And he pulls out another sheet of paper.
Wow.
Hands it to you. And he says, yes.
Bernard, why do you carry all these pieces of paper on you at all times?
To remind myself how great I am.
Oh, yeah, we really are getting there. Okay. Well, I'm done asking questions. Thanks, Bernard.
Excellent. Do any of you others have questions, or can we please order?
Yeah, we can order. That's fine.
Yeah, he slides down next to you, James, in the booth. This is my favorite spot. They're not very fast to take orders, but the food is very good.
Great.
Katie just texted the group, it's sliding into Trump voice.
Yeah.
Sure it was.
Oh, man.
I was trying to play it cool.
Anyway, he says, so which one of you is James?
That would be me.
Ah, right. I heard you have quite the science fair project to show at the science fair.
I thought so. Bioenergy is definitely a understudied field, and I'm hoping my strange combination of abilities could advance the field. I mean, that sounds really pretentious. And
that's very interesting. You know, there is going to be stiff competition at the, we have orientation in just a bit after we get our food. And then tonight you all will be set up at a very nice hotel. But then the big day is tomorrow. I hope you're ready for the said stiff competition.
Yeah, I did my best, and I'm hoping, it'll be judged favorably.
I think I can help with that. I'm actually one of the judges for tomorrow's event.
I imagined you would be, given your prestigious position. I kind of look over at Sugar Dinner and Kay, like, trying to communicate as clearly as I can with a facial expression alone. Is he asking me for a bribe? Because it sounds like he's asking me for a bribe.
Kay and Sugar Dinner both look at each other and over to you, James, and they say, so, James, you've probably realized by now this is not just a social gathering. Dr. Bernard here is actually an asset for the Knights of the Round. He is part of our research and development team. Luckily, we were able to get in contact with him nonchalantly because of his connection with Sugar Dinner. And how to put this? I really thought that this would just be a fun vacation for a teacher and his students and us all to be friends. And long story short, we've gotten some intel that Knight Company is going to be using the science fair for their own recruitment machinations. They're going to try to find the brightest minds and start up their own R&D area. It's not an ideal situation, but it's one that we can interfere with. So while you are giving your presentations tomorrow, I need you to be vigilant about not just winning the science fair, but also keeping your eyes out for anything shady. That goes for you too also. You guys will have more leeway for where you can go in the auditorium. We just need eyes and ears on the ground, okay? And I wanted to introduce you to Bernard so that he could give you the details of the operation.
Wow. Okay.
Bernard, I'll have you say what you want to say, and then we can end this episode in our lives.
And Bernard looks at you and clears his throat, remembering his voice. He says, "So here's the plan for tomorrow. I, as a scientist, will be a judge for the competition. You, James, I'm going to put you at the center booth so that all the foot traffic has to walk by you. This means that you'll be able to see any shady behavior going on in the center of the area. Brim, I'm going to put you by the snack bar. That way, if any operatives of Knight Company become famished or hungry, you will be able to spot them. You, Anaya, I have you standing at the door awkwardly as people enter and exit the room. This way, you can make sure to stop anyone if we ID them and they get funny ideas about leaving the auditorium."
Awkward I can do.
Excellent. I've been briefed on your profile and I knew that this would be the perfect job for you. Now, James, here is something very important that you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
The fair is going to be rigged, okay? We already have you pegged as the winner.
Oh.
Yeah, sorry. Even if your shit sucks, you're going to win. Honestly, no one's going to be looking that closely at the science project anyway. It's all about who has connections. Science, right? You're going to be the winner so that if by the time the event is over, we haven't ID'd these Knight Company fellas, that they will target you. They're going to try to recruit you because they're looking for the best and the brightest minds is what we've been thinking. And so if by the end of the fair, we haven't found the perpetrators yet or the recruiters, you know, we're going to be watching you very closely because you'll probably be confronted by someone. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
You're going to have to play along. Can you role play?
I think so.
All right. We all have our assignments. Okay. Hands together on the count of three. We'll say science.
Brim is already over by the snack bar.
The snack bar in the restaurant?
In the convention tomorrow.
Oh my God. Okay, we are at the convention tomorrow. We're going to set the stage for it. You guys ready?
All right.
Okay. Ocean's 11 music is playing. Cue the music. Brim, you are wearing black sunglasses in your gray outfit by the snack bar. You put your hands into what kind of food and take a big chomp of it?
Whatever is Doritos in this world.
You take the square Doritos and you put a handful into your mouth. Anaya, you are standing by the door. Green and red lights are blinking as people enter and exit the wide double door. What are you up to? What are you doing?
Oh, geez. I'd be fiddling with my phone, but we're so fancy we don't have phones in the future.
The brain phones.
Yeah.
And we swerve the camera up and over to the center of the auditorium where we have James. James, you have your battery, your meat battery, proudly displayed. On either side of you are, well, I'll be frank, basically everyone else brought papier-mâché volcanoes. It's just your battery and then a bunch of volcanoes.
James is really sad. I'm like very, very disappointed in this whole thing. I was like really proud of my idea and really like, oh man, I'm gonna get to, you know, really join in the international scientific community and participate in this prestige event. And he's just kind of, everyone is like marveling at his thing and they think it's really cool. And I'm just kind of sitting there like,
wondering how many of them are acting.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
There's some people looking at your thing, and they're like, so what is it?
It is a organic compound that is composed both of myself and I've engineered it using some other organic components, the whole idea of which is that this is a contained system that can retain its own energy, as well as once it reaches a certain point in the cellular maturation, can produce its own energy and can be transported long distances. And like, I'm watching people's eyes glaze over. And
so it's not a volcano?
No, not a volcano.
Like, four volcanoes erupt around you and the crowd disperses to go look at the volcanoes.
Cool.
TWG, the worst garbage dot online.